Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. This is God's Word. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, saying, "I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be blameless. I will set up my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell face down, and God spoke with him. "As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful and will make nations and kings come from you. I will confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations. It is a permanent covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And to you and your future offspring, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God." God also said to Abraham, "As for you, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations are to keep my covenant. This is my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, which you are to keep. Every one of your males must be circumcised. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskin to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you is to be circumcised at 8 days old. Every male born in your household or purchased from any foreigner and not your offspring, whether born in your household or purchased, he must be circumcised. My covenant will be marked in your flesh as a permanent covenant. If any male is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that man will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarai, for Sarah will be her name. I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will produce nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. Then he laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth?" So Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael were acceptable to you." But God said, "No, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will name him Isaac. I will confirm my covenant with him as a permanent covenant for his future offspring. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will certainly bless him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him greatly. He will father 12 tribal leaders, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will confirm my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year." When he finished talking with him, God withdrew from Abraham. So Abraham took his son Ishmael and those born in his household or purchased, every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, just as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. And his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. On that same day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his household, whether born in his household or purchased from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've said before that Abraham longed to have a family. He longed to be a father. And for decades, it looked as if it wasn't going to happen. And yet, in the midst of all that longing for something that wasn't happening, God would occasionally show up and tell him, hey, you're going to have many descendants. And so now in chapter 17, God comes and appears to him again and starts telling him, from now on, your name is Father of a Multitude. The only reason for Abram to change his name to Abraham is because God changed his name to Abraham. And now he's got to go tell people something that's going to make him look crazy. If he goes to him and he says, hi, I'm the father of a multitude. His name is Ishmael. That's a little embarrassing. But God says, you're going to be the father of a multitude. And by the way, your wife shouldn't be called Sarai anymore. Her name should be Sarah. She's a 90-year-old woman. She was good-looking in her 60s. But now that she's 90, call her princess. Now, queen would make sense, maybe. But princess? Seriously? So he's the father of a multitude. She is princess, and they've still had no kids together. He's 100. She's 90. This just seems crazy. So we said that when God's going to do something big in your life, he's liable to ask you to do something big, and it's liable to be embarrassing. You got that? That's not all. God is likely to ask you to do something that may well be painful. Obedience is often painful. What does this involve? God says, I want for you and all the males in your household to have a permanent reminder that you belong to me. All right, I could go with that. But this is going to involve some pain. Oh no, tattoo? No? Circumcision. What's circumcision? That's cutting away the foreskin of the man's organ. I didn't know he had an organ. Does he play the organ? What does? No, we're talking about his sex organ. We're talking about the man's private part. We're talking about the fact that God says, I want you to take that thing that you love so much and cut the skin around the outside off and throw it away. That's really personal. Yeah, and it's going to hurt. If you wonder whether or not it hurts, you'll find that later on in this book, there were a bunch of people who had to get circumcised, and on the third day, when they were really in bad pain, their enemies came and killed them all. And the reason they could kill them all is because these guys were hurting so badly they couldn't fight back. Okay? So this was not like a punch in the arm. Okay, line up, boom. Huh, now you do it to the next one. No, this was something that was bloody and painful and deeply personal, unforgettable, and you would always have a reminder with you wherever you go. God said, that's what I want as the covenant sign. How many of us have to do it? Is it just me? No. You and your son Ishmael and all the males in your household. not only now, but throughout the future. Now, some folks are going to have trouble with this, including like in later generations, including, for example, a fellow by the name of Moses, who is not going to circumcise his son on the eighth day like he was supposed to. And God says, this is a big deal. Pastor, I don't want to ask this here during devotions, but does that mean that still today, if you're going to follow God, you need to be circumcised if you're a guy? The answer is no. Read the rest of the scriptures, and in the New Covenant, you find that circumcision is replaced with baptism. In the Old Covenant, circumcision. New Covenant, baptism. Now, while we're on the subject, I will tell you that one of the things a number of studies have found is that, as with God's other instructions for his people, it turns out the creator of our bodies knows a lot about health and hygiene. And so whether it's helping the Jews not get trichinosis by avoiding pork, or not get a bunch of other junk by avoiding shellfish, or other junk by avoiding catfish, God's dietary laws, which we are not bound by, are nevertheless filled with very good, wise planning by the one who created all things. Just so you know. And it turns out circumcision also has health benefits for the wife. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Reducing the risk of cervical cancer and so forth. But that's only statistical evidence from the scientific community. And there would be some in the scientific community who would say, no, no, no. But I've been persuaded by the studies I've read that it was actually, like not eating pork, a pretty good idea. By the way, I do eat pork, just so you know. We're not bound by the law. But even though God was giving these folks something painful to do, it turns out that there were wonderful benefits to them. So, in this passage, God says, I want you to change your name, and your new name is going to be one that people are going to find kind of out of place for you. Your new name is going to be one that might cause folks to laugh behind your back. I mean, just the fact you're changing your name at age 100, it would be ridiculous. Why are you doing it? God told me to. Oh. But what do you do if God does tell you something? God didn't tell him to do anything evil. God told him to do something that was embarrassing and something that was painful. Not dangerous, not wicked, but painful. And so Abraham gathered together all the guys who were there, including 318 militiamen. Remember his militia? The trained soldiers? Imagine going to them and saying, guys, want you to know I really appreciate you're always being ready to defend us. You're going to need to take a few days off because something special is going to happen today. God hadn't talked to them, okay? They didn't get a message. No angel appeared and told them, your boss is going to give you some instructions that you're going to find difficult, but you need to go ahead and go with it, okay? Because it's God's will. He did what God told him, and praise God, those who worked for him did what he told them, God told him. My wife and I were making some plans last couple of days. And as we're talking, I said to her, I am so grateful that from the start, you have been willing to follow what I believe God is telling us to do. Okay? First thing that my wife went along with that I believed was God's will, and she had to be talked into it, was marrying me. Okay? She said, well, I thought I was just going to be single and serve God overseas. And I said, I want you to do whatever God wants you to do, but I don't believe that God would have made you so beautiful if he intended for you to be single on some foreign field. It's a good line, fellas. You might want to... It was the truth. It was the truth. But I just thought, you know, why would God do that? Now, God does that. God does stuff like that. But I told her what I told her, and I really believed it was God's will for us to be married, and she came to believe that too, and we got married. And then I said, we're going to live in Mississippi. Now, those who are from Mississippi, Mississippi is a perfectly fine state in many ways. But it was not a place where either of us had aspired to live. And God put it on my heart that that's where we're supposed to be. And my wife changed universities, which those of you who've ever had to do that know that that is not a simple thing. You've got to be concerned about grades transferring, classes, credits transferring, and all this kind of thing. You got to get new advisors, find out from scratch who the professors are that you want versus who are the professors you don't want. How do you find your way around campus? What to avoid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, we were starting our newlywed life at a children's home as house parents to 14 boys ages 10 to 14, and we had 12 hours a week off. Just let that sink in for a second, okay? And we were 30 minutes from anywhere. I mean, you could drive 30 minutes, you get to Kosciuszko. On my day off, I drove 30 minutes, went to Kosciuszko, and it was a ghost town. All the businesses were closed. And I thought, what happened? And there was a guy who probably was unemployed lying on a park bench out on the town square. And I went up and I said, why are all the stores and everything else closed? And he looked at me like I was from out of town. And he said, it's Tuesday. I was like, well, yeah, yes, it is. Well, that was the whole answer. Apparently, it didn't say so on the store windows or anything, but everybody just knew that on Tuesdays, we shut down for the afternoon. That's why I was given that day off. Okay? So, I mean, that's where we started our married life. How did we do? I felt like that's what God told us we were supposed to do. My wife said, okay. And so that's where we started our married life. And she had to commute an hour each way to and from State University in order to finish her degree, which she did in fine style, I might add. And then I believed God was telling us to go to Massachusetts. She had never lived north of Mississippi. I mean, she was from Shreveport, Louisiana, and Houston, Texas, and a little time in Baton Rouge High School. Okay, so I mean, like, she's a deep South girl. She trusted me that we were supposed to go from Mississippi to Massachusetts and take a $50 a month cut in pay, plus have to start buying our own meals. At the children's home, they fed us. In Massachusetts, they said, have a nice day. So we took a significant pay cut to go to a much more expensive area. And God didn't tell her to do that. God just told her that she was supposed to marry me. And so she went with me to Massachusetts. And then from Massachusetts to Atlanta. And then from Atlanta up here. It's been a journey. But God has directed our steps. And my wife has been willing to trust my sense of God's leadership. Now the reason I'm telling you that is because God may put you in a situation where at times you will need to trust someone else's sense of God's leading. Now, if anybody ever tries to tell you that God is leading them to do something that's contrary to Scripture, that's not God. Is that clear? But if it's just something that might be embarrassing or it might be painful, maybe God. And you need to know that. Because that's what happened here. And what it says at the end of the passage is every one of those men was circumcised that day. They didn't say, well, give me a few days to think about it. You know, I have some other job opportunities and I'm thinking maybe I'll go somewhere else because what you're asking of me, frankly, sir, seems crazy. You're a 100-year-old man, you're crazy. Okay? This was not a common custom in the area. And the reason, again, that I say that is because you look at what else happens in the book of Genesis, and it's like the Jews were the only weird ones. Okay? You could tell who was a Jew because they were circumcised. The pagans weren't. That was what Abraham had to persuade these guys that they were to do, and they all did it that day. They all did it that day. They all did it that day. That's impressive. That's faith. Faith is obedient. So, when I look at this passage, God again said to Abraham, a year from now, your wife is going to have a son. And he says, couldn't you just bless Ishmael? I mean, I can be happy with that. Oftentimes, when God wants to do this, we're saying, how about this? You know, I don't want to set my sights too high. I don't want to hope for too much. That seems impossible. We've said it before. That would take a miracle. If you're trying to live a life that doesn't require miracles, you are missing out in your walk with God. God loves miracles. God loves to put us in situations where we need a miracle. Because that's when he's glorified. God made the universe out of nothing. He didn't make it out of just some spare parts we got over here. He made it out of nothing. He spoke the universe into being. Okay? That's the way God likes to work. I'm going to have a nation that will be my people. Let's start with a childless couple. Let's pick a woman who can't have babies. And let's wait until her husband is about a century old. Really? The guy's 99 and God's saying, we're just about ready. I love the way the New Testament describes him. As good as dead. How's he doing? Well, he's as good as dead. God says, I can use that. I can use that. And so God said, Sarah's going to have a son. Abraham laughed. When Sarah finds out about it in the next chapter, she's going to laugh too. But you know what? God got the last laugh. And the child's name was Laughter. Isaac was going to be born to this couple because God had said so. And when God says something, you know what you can count on? It's going to happen. That's why we study the Word of God, is because we want to know, what does God say? Because everything God says is true. And when God says this is what's coming, that's what's coming. And when God says don't do that, you better not. So, Abraham says to God, if only Ishmael were acceptable to you. Verse 18. God says, I'll bless him. I've heard you. I'm going to bless him. But that's not the child of promise. That was something you and your wife came up with as a way of trying to make my promises come true. I don't need your help, Abram. I want your obedience. I want you to trust me and do what I say. But I don't need you to take shortcuts and violate my design in order to try and make things happen. Is that clear? I hope so. Because I'll tell you this, I've walked with him a long time, and he's always right. And he loves us. He doesn't just tolerate us, he loves us. And that is really good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.